Step to the task and miss a thing. You got it to come strong. If you come at all, you better come strong. Get out of my way. Gonna come and shine. Tell you what I've got. Road rage. Nothing you can. What is going on, South Carolina and all the ships at sea? How are you today, producer Ramona?
I'm good. How are you?
Did that sound like Ramona? Did
what?
It sounded like I got stuck there on that, like third syllable there or something.
You might have.
Ramona. Yeah, Ramona. Yeah,
that's funny.
Yes. Hey, idle thought for the day. Okay. We start the show every once in a while with one of these idle thoughts. It just came to me as I was driving. This is just insane if you actually think about this, okay? I believe it was 1971. I'm not 100% sure. I believe it was 1971 when Archie Manning, out of Ole Miss. I want you to think about this, Ramona. Hello. Is this thing working? Hello. 1971 when Archie Manning was the second pick of the NFL draft. Peyton Manning was the first pick of the NFL draft. Eli Manning was the first pick of the NFL draft. And there's a really good chance that come next NFL draft, Arch Manning is going to be the first pick of the NFL draft. That's my calendar, my computer says it's 2026, right? That's basically 55 years worth of Manning family dominance in the National Football League.
Yeah. How about that?
That's just stupid. I mean, that's just frigging impossible. They're all quarterbacks. All of them, every single one of them, have been great. You can say whatever you want. You can argue about Eli Manning. Eli Manning won two Super Bowls.
He did.
And there's a chance he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Archie Manning was unbelievable for a bad football team, a horrible football team at that time, the Saints. He was incredible. Peyton was obviously incredible. And I think there's a great likelihood that Arch Manning is the next number one pick. If he's not number one, he's going to be two or whatever. One, two, three. He's going to be right there. And there's a good chance he's going to be the next quarterback of Craig's New York Jets. Unless they decide not to go there. You know, that happened once upon a time. But maybe that's the case. But, you know, that's a reality. I mean, think about the absurdity of one family dominating 55 years worth of the quarterback position in the National Football League. And Peyton Manning has a son who is really good, too.
Yeah.
I've just seen a little bit of film on him. I was mentioning this to Kwok during the break, this whole thing, the thought of the day. And he said, no, I'm going to be thinking about this. What is this? What did this texture send me? He said, have you seen the video of rising ninth grader Marshall Manning? LOL, buckle up. Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, that's Peyton's son. And you know, look, we're a long way away from that, but he could be the part. He could look the part. When will it end? When will it end? I mean, this could go on for another 50 years. It's conceivable. The Manning family quarterback tree is insane. It's absolutely impossible. When you actually think about it, it's like nothing we've ever seen in the world of sports, and we'll never see again. I mean, there could be a next Manning in line behind this one. And who's to say that these Mannings aren't going to produce other Mannings, which are also going to be quarterbacks? Because they're all going to be quarterbacks. I mean, that's like a state rule. It's like a national rule that all Mannings are quarterbacks. So they're all going to be quarterbacks. Why do you not seem as amazed by this as like I'm trying to get through to you that you should be?
Amazed? It's a quarterback family.
I know. But it's astonishing. It's like they're the Gilstrap roofing of quarterbacks.
They've been doing it for 55
years. Right, it's like
years.
Four generations.
You should be more shocked if somebody came out that was no good.
Well, again, though, first of all, not only have they all played quarterback, but for all of them to be number one or number two draft picks, I mean, again, to this point, there have been two number ones and one number two. Dad is the slug of the bunch, drafted second.
Yeah.
And then there's a really good chance that when this season's over, that Arch is going to be the next Manning number one pick. And he could well be a New York Jet. I've been thinking about who the Jets quarterback is going to be. The Jets are ideally positioned to change their franchise. Is Aaron Glenn going to be the guy? I don't know. But they're ideally positioned to change their franchise. They did a great job in the draft this year. And obviously they're going to use one or more of those first-round picks next year to go get their quarterback. They're going to get to cherry-pick their quarterback. The Jets are going to have a choice between all these guys. We're going to talk about those guys later on. But, you know, listen, and the NFL likes certainty, okay? The NFL likes consistency. The NFL drafted Blake Miller in part because he played 54 straight games. Drafting is a risk. You know what's not a risk? Proven over 55 years, drafting a Manning. To this point, it's been a risk-free maneuver. You draft a Manning, you get a great NFL quarterback, period. So when we get in this conversation at the end of the season about who's going to be number one, Arch Manning or Dante Moore or Darian Mensah or Mestemaker or anybody else, Trinidad Champas, there are others, Jordan Maeva. We get in this conversation, which family has the genetic track record? It's the Mannings. And that's another reason, whether you believe it or not, Arch Manning's going number one. Barring something crazy this year, he's going to be the number one pick in the draft. He is going to be the next quarterback in the New York Jets. And you can feel change coming. You can feel change coming around. Texture said, club of disrespect, LOL, Jets future. Yeah, he wasn't drafted as a starting quarterback, and I don't think he's ever going to be a starting quarterback. So, yeah. I just tell the truth, okay? You don't get starting quarterbacks drafted in the fourth round. You get backup quarterbacks. The Jets need a backup quarterback. I don't know if Cade Klubnik will ever start a game for the Jets, ever. I mean, barring injury, no. Smith is going to be their quarterback this year. He might be their quarterback next year, and then they're going to hand that position off to Archie Manning. Or Arch Manning, or Dante Moore or somebody. But yeah. Texter said, Marshall Manning plays at the Baylor School in Chattanooga for ex-Gamecock quarterback Eric Kemre, who was famous for one play, the fade TD against Mississippi State. How about that? It's an interesting little point. Texter, is it fair to say the Mannings have a leg up because of their last name? Yes, 100%. Said, what if another player with the same skill set but a different name? Would they take Manning every time? No, they wouldn't. No. I just actually said that, and I hadn't read your text as yet, but yeah, what I said and what your text asked basically, merged. I think when push comes to shove and we get to that point and you have all these great names at the top of this next draft in terms of quarterbacks, at least on paper, as of now, lots of things can happen. Injuries, lack of productivity, lots of things can go wrong. I mean, they're already saying that, Arch Manning may have some sort of shoulder issue. But in terms of right now and the look-ahead viewpoint, the 20,000-foot look down on this, yeah, it's 100%. If this thing comes down to Manning, Moore, and let's just say it comes down to the MM&M boys, okay, Manning, Moore, and Mensah. Let's just say that those are the top three. We can add others. We can add another Mestemaker. But let's say it comes down to those three guys, all right? If it's even close, Arch Manning is going to be the number one pick. And it's going to be because of that family heritage. And I honestly, can you blame anybody? NFL teams want, like I said, they want certainty. They want as much certainty as they can get. They have 55 years worth of certainty with the Manning family in that position. There are just advantages to that. There just are. So yeah, no, you're 100% right, Texter. I mean, I think if it's even close, Arch Manning is gonna get the call. He's the name. And so I think that's what you're gonna see. But it's just, you know, that family is just due a level of respect. And you know what else? They've all been good guys. You know what I mean? I mean, 55 years of a family tradition of excellence, both on and off the field. There's never been one single bad thing said. Oh, yeah, I mean, from a football standpoint, you could have people argue against them, whatever. But there's never been a bad thing said about any of them. Any of them. They've all been stand-up guys. I mean, it's the first family of football. You know what I mean? It's absolutely insane what the whole family has accomplished. And also, you add in the quality of the people that we're talking about, and then it's even better. I mean, it's like a flawless family. It's the kind of family where people hate because they're jealous of them. You know what I mean? Well, keep hating them, because you're going to see another Manning get his name called first, and who knows about Marshall Manning? He may be next, and eventually, oh, by the way, they may spawn other Mannings. Like I said, you know, look, I'm not going to be doing this in 20 years, okay? But in 20 years, somebody might be sitting in this chair talking about the next Manning who's going to be the number one pick. Nothing will surprise me anymore, because, again, I'm just driving and I'm listening. I have Ben Kwok on, and I'm just sort of I'm listening, and I don't know what got me thinking about it. Yes, I do. A little conversation about the Jets, and I was thinking about that I had heard on national airwaves, and I started thinking about, well, there's a good chance Arch Manning is going to be the quarterback for the Jets next year, a really good chance, because no one's going to be in better position than they are. First of all, I don't think they're going to be very good. And secondly, they have three number one picks, so they can do whatever they want. So the barring something completely unforeseen right now, the New York Jets are going to be able to pick and choose whatever quarterback they want. So if they want Arch Manning or they want Dante Moore, they can go wherever they want, it would seem, and get the guy they want. At the very least, they're going to have the ammunition to be able to do it. We don't know what their record's going to be. It's hard to say. But that's where we are. Texter said, greater bloodline, Walt Manning family or Secretariat? That's from KG. That's from KG. Okay, Secretariat wins. Secretariat wins. Every horse but one, Ramona, in the recently run Kentucky Derby was spawned by Secretariat blood.
Really?
Every horse but one. And so, yeah, Secretariat wins everything. But in terms of human beings, the Manning family, who's topping that ever? You know, it's impossible. And they play the most important position. It's just craziness. It really is. Texter said, Walt, you have a sickness that makes you love this. You'll never quit. You absolutely will be doing this in 20 years if you're on this earth. And he said, and I appreciate it. Well, thank you very much. That's very, very kind of you. Very kind of you. We have lots to get to. We're going to talk a little NFL. We're going to talk a lot of football today. We'll have to talk a little bit more about the proposed field of 24, which is what we're headed for. You know, we talked a little bit about that yesterday. I've got a few more things I want to add to that conversation. We have some NBA action last night. Will Jason Columbia be calling tonight, Ron? It did not go well. Did not go well for Steve.
Oh,
Will.
No.
No, they lost by like a million.
Oh, no.
There have been some ugly games in the NBA playoffs of late. Just some ugly, ugly games. The T-Wolves didn't show up at all. You know, I will say this. You see this in game two situations where the visitor has won game one. You see these type of games a lot. Do you know why?
No, I do not.
What do you think it is? So let me just explain. It's a seven-game series. The Spurs have home court advantage. They lose game one at home. Why do you think it is that in this type of situation, a team like the T-Wolves, who has a 1-0 lead on the road, doesn't show up in game two sometimes.
I guess they think they're going to win and they don't try hard enough, as far as I can see.
Well, it's that they've already accomplished what they came for.
How could that be? The goal should be to win the whole thing.
Well, the goal is to win the whole thing. But the reality is, in human nature, they've already accomplished what they came for. They have now stolen away the home court advantage. There are 5 games left in the series. 3 of them are in Minnesota now. So the home court has been taken away. And frequently, you see teams that win game one on the road just completely tank game two. Not because it's their intent necessarily, but because if things start to go wrong, they don't care. They sort of mail it in at that point because they already got what they came for, and now their focus is winning game three and maintaining home court advantage. And this has been a sort of a historical thing that has happened with many, many teams. But now, the T-Wolves were particularly ugly last night, and we're going to get to all of that. In any case, I thought it was, sort of an interesting thought of the day. We talk about the Mannings a lot, but I don't know if we ever actually sort of take this broad look at what this family has actually meant to the world of football over a period of from a professional standpoint, 55 years, from a college standpoint, even longer than that. I mean, you have a family that's dominated college football, dominated the National Football League for basically 60 years. 60 years at one position, a whole family tradition, which is just absolutely crazy. It really is when you think about it. That every Manning turns out to be an elite quarterback. I know things went sideways for Cooper, but,
Who's that? I don't know him.
He's another brother. He had some other... He had an injury. He's the spawn of Arch. Quick break.
Running a business means wearing multiple hats. So if you're like me, you probably started out using your personal phone, taking client calls and...
Dan Issel was not only one of the great players in Kentucky basketball history, he's one of the greatest basketball players who ever lived. And I don't think people realize the kind of numbers that Issel put up in pro basketball. It's a lot of it in the ABA too. But I don't think people realize the type of numbers Issel put up. He was almost like a bird type. I mean, he was 6'9", 6'10". He's probably a little shorter than that now. And he's one of the legendary players in Kentucky basketball history. Issel was asked as a part of a discussion, like, what's happened to Kentucky? And Dan Issel's answer was, we don't cheat as well as we used to. That is his answer. Issel's answer was, we don't cheat as well as we used to. Now, they paid $22 million for that roster last year. It's not, cheating has been legalized, so there isn't cheating. It's sort of funny. I mentioned this to Kwok during the break between shows. I said, Kwok, on the whole Clemson Notre Dame discussion with Dabo and that, I said, let me throw 2 words at you and get your feelings on it, how it relates to it. And my 2 words were Cole Serta. I mean, Clemson took a Notre Dame player. It's the whole thing is odd. I saw Dan Patrick go on and on yesterday about what Dabo Swinney said about Notre Dame, and it just trying to create something that just isn't there. Look, here's the world we live in, all right? If you go out publicly and you say something about a school, it doesn't matter what you say, okay? It doesn't matter what you say. You're going to get a response. That's just how it is. I mean, social media is like a million mountain lions ready to pounce on their prey. That's what they are. That's what it is. And so when you say something publicly about another school, even if it's not particularly nasty or anything of that sort, you're going to get a response. You know, if somebody said something publicly about Clemson like that, Clemson people are going to respond. That's the way it is. It's the way it is. Don't worry about the specifics of what was said. The people aren't hearing the specifics. They're hearing their name. That's what they're hearing. But Patrick went on for like 10 minutes, and it really was 10 minutes. I mean, I watched the 10-minute span, 9-something, where that was the whole conversation. And I think the whole thing is much to do about nothing. I really do. I don't think it's a big deal. I chose not to spend a lot of time on it initially. It seems like it just doesn't quite want to go away, but I still don't think it's a big deal. I don't think anything that was said was particularly offensive, and there are some realities about the things Dabo Swinney said in this world. Now, I know some have turned it around, and that's what Dan Patrick did, and basically saying, well, you had nine draft picks, and you only won 7 games. Patrick spent a lot of time on that. Well, you had 9. Well, again, that's 1 year. That's 1 season. And I don't think you can use that 1 season and sort of suggest, well, that paints the totality of the picture regarding Clemson football under Dabo Swinney. I don't think that's fair. So, again, to me, this is just sort of the way of the world. You know, you say something publicly, you're going to get a response if you include somebody else, especially if that somebody else thinks that they've been singled out for some reason. And trust me, if your name gets mentioned, you always think you're singled out, whether you are or not. So, you know, I just think that's the reality of it. Illini J said, Issel isn't as short as Pavia, though. Issel was 6'9", so, yeah, Issel is not as short as Pavia. Yes, that would be true. Texted, did you ever see the SEC story on Archie Manning? His dad committed suicide when Archie was in school at Ole Miss. If alive today, he'd be in his 90s. Can you imagine that? What a legacy. Can you imagine if Archie had somehow gone off the tracks back then? Amazing story. I did not see that. No, I've not seen that story. And like I said, I was just driving and thinking about the Jets and what the Jets might do and the possibility that Arch Manning is the next quarterback of the Jets. And then I started sort of thinking about, well, if he's the first pick of the draft, I mean, you've got a whole family tradition of first pick in the draft. So, yeah. I mean, JQ is still asking me about that song of Short People by Randy Newman. I did not, JQ. I just, quite honestly, I don't care. It served our purposes perfectly. So I don't care what Randy Newman's intent was. It's of no real meaning or consequence to me. His song worked perfectly, and it seems like it's about short people. So yeah, I think he can say whatever he wants, and I think people will still know. Texas said the Mannings have been known to let teams know they're not going to play for them. Yeah, well, that did happen. It happened with Eli Manning. But I think they might be past that point. I think, listen, think about this for a second, okay? With all the celebrity that the Manning family has enjoyed, with all the accomplishments from Arch Manning at Ole Miss to Peyton at Tennessee to Eli at Ole Miss to all of their respective NFL careers and their amazing accomplishments. If Arch Manning goes to the New York friggin' Jets and turns that program, that team around, when all is said and done, the most famous Manning of all will be Arch. He will pass Peyton. He'll pass Eli. He'll pass everybody. If Arch Manning can turn the Jets around, now he's going to have some help because the Jets have had a bunch of picks this year. They have a bunch of picks next year. He's going to have some help. But if he can turn around the most downtrodden franchise in all of sports, because that's what the Jets are. The New York Jets have not been to the playoffs since 2010, I believe. 2010. The year is 2026. Do you know, Ramona, how many other NFL teams haven't been to the playoffs since 2010?
A lot. Most of them.
Listen to the question. Do you know how many other teams have not been to the playoffs since 2010?
No.
None. They all have. Every other team in the NFL has been to the playoffs since the Jets last went. Do you know how many Major League Baseball teams haven't been to the playoffs since 2010?
No.
None. Do you know how many Major League Basketball, how many pro basketball teams haven't been to the playoffs since 2010?
I'm guessing none.
None. You know how many hockey teams haven't been to the playoffs since 2010? None. Yes, you're hearing me right. The New York Jets have the longest active running streak of not making the playoffs in any major sport. The Jets have not been to the playoff. I mean, they haven't got into a playoff since 2010. So it's not just this, well, the last real success was Joe Namath. You know, realize the success level that Joe Namath was and the success level that the Jets became, you know, 50-some years ago, all right? What I'm saying is there is a chance here, a legitimate chance. Now, look, they've had a chance before. They had three picks in the first round before. They seemed like good picks, and the thing still went haywire when the whole Zach Wilson thing blew up. And when Aaron Rodgers got hurt and that whole disaster happened and Douglas got fired and all that stuff happened. So the Jets having that history of futility, but having not been to the playoffs, they are the last sports franchise since 2010 not to have made a playoff. If Arch Manning goes to the Jets and turns that deal around with the help of these other picks and this infusion of young talent, he may wind up being the greatest Manning of all. It's conceivable. It's conceivable. And in that town, where they are so starved for so long, you
they are starved.
Can you imagine the hero worship that will go on if Arch Manning becomes, you know, personality-wise, he's not Joe Namath. But if Arch Manning becomes the next Joe Namath, all right, the next quarterback, they've had a few decent quarterbacks, you know, Chad Pennington, you know, Ken O'Brien, you know, they've had a few. Richard Todd was their quarterback once, came out of Alabama. The Jets thought they had another Joe Namath when they drafted Richard Todd. Man, were they wrong. But the reality is that this could be like the biggest thing ever. It really could. There's a chance here for this to be like the biggest thing ever if that all happens. If the next Manning chapter is written with the New York Jets, and I think there's a very good chance that can be. It will be incredible. 9-4-0 says with this Jets head coach. Yeah, Aaron Glenn. I mean, look, Aaron Glenn didn't get off to a good start, but what Jet coach has, other than Parcells, you know. So I think when you, Vinny was another, by the way. I think when you look at that situation, I think it's about these draft picks and what you do with them. The Jets seem to have executed the round one situation really well. They came away with three guys who I think are all going to be starters and all potential stars for them. And then, again, you know, I think they got a backup quarterback. We'll see whether that's long-term or not. But when you move ahead to next year, they have three first-round draft picks. And so, listen, they're already thinking about their quarterback for next year. There's a reason the Jets weren't interested in Ty Simpson, okay? The Jets were interested in building the body of their team, adding a backup quarterback at some point, and planning on attacking this draft next year with three first-round picks to go get the round one quarterback that they covet. And there's a legitimate chance that all could wind up being Arch Manning. Now, again, there are a lot of unknowns in that, I mean, if you have another team like, you know, Cleveland, for example, Arizona, who was thought to be in the Ty Simpson sweepstakes, if one of those teams just absolutely tanks all year and winds up with the number one pick, are they going to be willing to deal out of that position? Maybe not. But the Jets would certainly have the ammunition. And I don't know what the Jets' record is going to be. The Jets are sort of bulletproof in that with three first-round picks, it almost doesn't matter what their record is. I mean, you know, so I don't think they're going to be intent on tanking. You know, I think they'd like to win a few football games, but that's the situation they're in. So it's going to be fascinating to see whether the next chapter of the Manning family history starts with the New York Jets. You know what? Personally, I have no love for the Jets. I have never been a Jets fan. I would love to see the Jets succeed.
Oh, it'd be cool to see.
It's just been too long and too much frustration and too much futility. It would be nice to see what happens in that city if the Jets mattered again. Walt Tip Tulip Road Rage, quick break.
At Lake Kiwi Ford and Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, we offer transparent pricing. You get the manufacturer's rebate. You get the dealer discount. You get
nut cases. We had the whole Met Gala thing. That just won't die on social media. You have women all over America imitating them. And did you see the video of that woman who imitated all of them yesterday?
I did.
That was absolutely hysterical. But the one that's drawing the most attention is the Disney princess chick there with whatever who had the white blindfold on with whatever she was doing with her chin. Is the thing that now she's like universally hated, and she tanked that whole Disney movie because she couldn't keep her mouth shut from her from her views.
I think I know, remember something about that.
But did you see what
is it on your page?
I think so. No one really knows what she was doing with her chin. It's like she was creating a retractable Popeye chin for no reason at all, that no one could figure out what on earth she was doing. So you have women all over America imitating that chick right now with their chins extended. Yeah, you need to check that out.
Oh, is this okay? There's a thing on your Twitter of a woman with a white.
That's her.
Okay,
yeah.
And then this is supposed to be an imitation because this is. She's in front of a pin the tail on the donkey thing.
Oh yeah, so yeah, she's imitating. Watch her.
And she has her chin.
Yeah, watch.
Out.
She's doing the chin thing. Yeah,
okay.
Women all over America doing the chin thing in imitation. talk about being mocked. But that's not even what's on my mind today, Ronnie. You know this chick Keisha?
No.
Keisha, she's like a singer or something. I don't really even know what she is, to be honest.
She's a singer?
Yeah, she's a singer.
Okay.
She was just interviewed, Ramona, and she told a story about her gold necklace, which has a round, whatever you call it, on the end of it. And inside that round thing.
Oh, no. Is what?
Is what? Exactly. I'll give you three guesses.
What?
I'm going to give you three guesses. Three guesses what this chick has inside her necklace that she has with her every single day.
Blood.
That's a really good guess. You are.
The reason I guessed that, right?
Yes. I would say warm.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say you're warm.
Okay, it's like something like that?
Yeah, it might be more disgusting than that.
Oh, no, then you just tell me, because I don't want to go down that road. Go ahead, tell me.
She has her placenta in it.
What?
Yes. I mean...
What?
I think there are more nuts in this world every single day. Yeah, this chick has a gold necklace that is filled with her placenta, which her mother saved for her.
I was going to ask if she had a baby, but you're saying
no.
This came from her mom. Here, take this.
Yes. Yeah, the mother saved it for her, and now she carries her own placenta in a necklace. Just out of curiosity, would you want to get anywhere near a chick that had a placenta necklace?
No, and I wouldn't want to get anywhere near her mother either. Right. I was going to say, it's like know, the nuts. People are weird now, but yeah. Also her mother's weird.
Right. Obviously.
Well, the reason I guess blood is because Angelina Jolie and Billy Bob Thornton had like little vials around their neck of each other's blood.
I had no idea that, but
when they were married.
Okay, that's just...
Yeah, that was a long time ago, but that's what I thought of when you said
that. You should never have even told me that during a live show.
Well, because what's now the difference between that and placenta? They're both bad.
I think placenta's worse.
That's all gross. But her mother gave it here.
Would any
what the heck?
And oh, by the way, she said she referred to herself as a cult leader too. She said she's a cult leader.
Oh, great! Well,
so she's trying to get other placenta necklace wearing people. Would any normal person ever do this? Would any normal person
join her club? And you got to go find
some of your own placenta. I hope your mom saved it for you too. I have no idea. I mean, I'm just.
Or there's just people out there to do that, and she just happens to be famous, right? So non-famous people are doing it.
I don't know
that's
that.
Gross.
I mean, would you ever do that?
No,
I wouldn't do it. I don't know a single person. Like,
that's
I don't
gross.
Think there's a single listener to this radio station that would wear a placenta necklace with their own
blood
placenta.
Was gross.
Right. Placenta's worse. It's just worse. It's like you're.
Her mom saved it for her. Makes her mom a lunatic.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. Oh. Well, these lunatics spawn other lunatics. Like, for example, since we're on the subject, Ramona.
It's been in the car. That's what's happening here.
Since we're on the subject,
I didn't see him leave.
I may as well give you another one.
Okay, go ahead. Embrace.
This is on my Twitter feed, okay? This is going to send people there too, because so
I'm already on it. So
okay, well
I don't know where it would be though.
Well, this will be easy enough to find.
Okay.
Okay. All right. There is this woman artiste, quotes air quotes, who is concerned that. Climate death is upon us again. We are back to that. We are back to the end of the world.
Thing?
Yeah, we are back to the end of the world from climate death.
Well,
okay,
if the world's going to end, it's because people are saving their placenta.
Yeah. Yes. So here's what her answer was to that, Ramona.
What?
She became a human bell ringer.
Whoa! She inside the bell.
Yes. She. She, but there's more.
Oh, God.
She's topless.
What?
And upside down. Yes. And she.
And
she,
this is what? Supposed to get everybody.
Yes. Exactly.
About
right.
Change?
Right. So she is swaying back and forth, hitting the sides of the bell. This
naked.
Is on this is on my Twitter feed.
Or
right.
Half naked. Or whatever.
Right. With her boobs hanging down. And she's swinging back and forth, ringing the bell.
Ben was texting me.
What was that?
I'm seeing if Ben was texting me.
Ringing the bell. She's ringing the bell, Ramona,
okay.
to create impending climate death awareness, right?
This is how she's doing it.
Right. Okay, the first thing that's clear is that this woman doesn't understand men at all, okay? Because, trust me, when we're watching your boobs swinging back and forth as you hang upside down in a bell, the last thing on earth we're thinking about is the type of footprint we're leaving. Okay, that's not how the male mind works. I'm just trying to help you, lady. There's not one male who's going to watch that video.
Idiot.
There's not one male who's going to watch that video and think, "God, what can I do about my climate footprint today?" No. No, we're just watching your boobs swing back and forth as you ring the bell. And there's not one woman either who's with a male because the woman's punching the male for looking at her boobs.
I was looking for something
and
else.
And Ramona's just trying to talk over it and ignore
page,
all of this. Yeah.
And I skipped over that. I didn't see the bell side. I saw the woman on the other side and didn't pay any attention to it.
Oh, yeah.
Kept going.
So she
looks like she's... killing herself
right,
doing it.
Right, she probably has a concussion
she
now.
She looks like she's passed out.
she probably has a concussion now. I mean,
her head is hitting the side of the bell.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might not have noticed that.
That's my point. That's my point.
To all the people out there that didn't notice her head and what her head was doing.
Right. No one saw her head. No female or male watching her saw her head.
She looks like she's knocked herself out. Yeah. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
and
she's apparently done these kind of things before. She apparently went completely naked on a Ski-Doo at SeaWorld or something.
How did she get on there at SeaWorld? How did they end up letting her on there?
I have no idea. What happened when I originally saw this article?
This is insane.
There was a tweet about
it. What an idiot!
When I originally saw this article, there was a tweet about it that had the video in it. Okay, so when I put that video on, that video went into another video of her completely naked on a Ski-Doo at SeaWorld or wherever it was. And then that went into another with five completely naked women in a tree or something. I don't know what they were doing.
Well, I could see how people would get in a tree, but how did they get at SeaWorld able to do that at SeaWorld?
I have no idea.
Is the whale that interesting?
I don't know. I can only focus on the ringing of the bell thing one at a time.
She is literally hitting the side of her head on the
bell. It would appear so.
The way her arms and her head are shaking, she looks like she's passed out now.
Yeah. But yes, that'll solve her stripping down and letting her boobs swing back and forth will solve climate issues.
What an idiot.
Man,
you can't be an idiot and have people listen to you. If you got something to say about climate change,
right.
You don't have to. You're not
right.
supposed to be an idiot.
Yeah, right, you can be like Greta.
They're not going to. Greta. Now, Greta spent her whole darn childhood trying to get people to understand climate change.
How dare you? You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words.
With your empty words.
Empty words.
And you know
your
what, Ramona?
Bell ringing?
And you know what, Ramona? She may not even be the biggest nut. It may not be Placenta Lady. It may not be this woman. It may be the five or six nuts who showed up at PepsiCo to protest. I don't know. Allegedly, bulls are abused when they carry the sugar.
What?
They were claiming that bulls were abused. Yeah, I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't trust.
The bulls are.
Hold on. Let me just say, I don't trust the PETA people. Okay, I don't trust anything they say. All right, I don't believe in anything they say. So I don't believe their little story about how the bulls are abused. I don't know. I don't like any animal being abused. Okay, but I don't know.
No, I know.
So these five nuts, Ramona, they set themselves up at PepsiCo, and they stood in each of them straight up in the middle of the road, blocking traffic. Going in and out of PepsiCo, in a wooden box of cement.
They cemented themselves in. In other words, they're in cement like their feet or whatever.
Now look, I've used quick dry cement before, quick set cement. I don't remember it setting as quickly as it. These people made it appear to be setting, but you had cops out there allegedly seemingly trying to get these people's feet out of the cement and couldn't get them out of the cement. I'm sort of curious, though. If you can't get out of the box of cement now, what's your plan for later?
Yeah, you know what I do? I just leave them there and turn the lights out and go home. Let him sit there.
Didn't that
happen one time? I think
Yes, I'd have to see this video to believe it. But what's the plan for later? Like, if the cops can't pull you out of the cement now, all right, which, I don't know, it still look wet to me. It seems like you should have been able to step right out of it. But the cops are trying to pull this off of these people's feet as they try to get them out of the road as they're being arrested and handcuffed. But if you can't do that, okay, then just out of curiosity, the geniuses who put their feet in the boxes of cement, what's your plan for later?
Getting out of it.
Right. Like, what's your plan? I'm curious. You going to sledgehammer yourself? You going to jackhammer yourself? I mean, what's the plan for how you get out of it later on. Did you? I know you had your little protest all planned and everything else, but what's your plan on actually extricating yourself from the concrete later? You know, I mean, I mean, you just wonder. Some of these people seem to have the IQ of a pencil eraser. You know, and they're just like completely dead from the neck up, and there's so many of them. You know, it's like
a lot.
Yeah, and we seem to grow them. Walt Diptula, road rage. We'll turn our attention to college football on the other side.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Here with Jeannie Mahaffey from Insurance for Seniors and Disabled. Caller asks Jeannie, I'm bombarded every day with calls from those who are trying to get my Medicare business. Is there anything I can do to stop these calls?
Listener, that's a question we are asked every day.